Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening. As you listen, imagine you are in the service as the Holy Spirit is with us in this time of worship. As you listen, worship and pray. Though separated physically, we are together spiritually. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, your church is not able to assemble, but your church is still together. So as your people worship at this time, may we experience your Holy Spirit, and may you speak to us, and may you assure us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sally will now play an arrangement of How Great Thou Art. May the Lord remind us in these challenging times that we come out victorious because of the great God that loves us and whom we serve. Scripture lesson is John 11, 17 through 27. When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When the rubber hits the road, it becomes crucial if Jesus is a concept or if we have a relationship with him. In the thick of life, when issues and events strike our very soul, we do not think our way through. We live our way through. Jesus treasured his relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus received news that Lazarus was ill, but he remained in his present location for 2 more days. So by the time Jesus arrives in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. In grief and frustration, yet also with a faith that held to Jesus despite her disappointment, Martha addresses Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask of him. Have you ever been disappointed in Jesus? Have you ever felt like Jesus just let you down? You prayed with genuine, sincere faith, knowing Jesus had full power to meet your concern. But the results of your experience left you to feel as if your petition had fallen on deaf ears. That's where Martha was. To paraphrase, Jesus, if you had not procrastinated, my brother would be alive. I have been frustrated with Jesus. I've prayed for some good people, and their conditions did not improve. I've prayed for some good people, and they died. I encountered what I felt were some unjust situations, and I prayed those in the wrong came out to the good, and I suffered. And I wondered, Jesus, where are you when I need you? Most of us have probably been familiar with Martha's frustration. Yet notice that another dynamic occurring at the same time. Martha is frustrated, but yet Martha loves Jesus. Martha believes in him. Martha still trusts Jesus. Even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. I identify with Martha. I would be less than honest if I denied being frustrated with Jesus from time to time. Yet win, lose, or draw, I am compelled to trust Jesus. I am compelled to trust Jesus because of the history of our relationship. Our relationship compels me to trust Jesus in the midst of what often appear to be glaring inconsistencies. Even after committing my life to Jesus, and even after committing to the ministry, I've not always understood everything that Jesus did. I've not liked every situation I've encountered. Yet I can look back and I can see how God either initiated events or God used events to teach me, to mold me, to correct me, and to strengthen me. Martha was dealing with an intense internal conflict. She was experiencing the grief that any person endures when a loved one dies. Yet at the same time, she admires trusts and loves Jesus. And at the same time, she's disappointed in Jesus. And in the midst of all of this, in a conversation with Jesus, she says, "Yes, I believe that there is a resurrection and that my brother will rise in that resurrection on the last day." But in the midst of all of these conflicting thoughts and emotions, Jesus confronts Martha. "Your brother will rise again." To which Martha responds, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." And as this conversation continues, I envision Jesus taking Martha by both hands and with compassion in his eyes, looking into her eyes and saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus confronts us with that question. Do you believe this? Jesus says, "I am the source of eternal life beyond physical death." Do you believe this? "I am the source of the resurrection, the restoration of ruined, distorted, or damaged lives." Do you believe this? I take persons who, for all practical purposes, have died, and I resurrect them to lives of worth and purpose. Do you believe this? Remember, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when Jesus asked Martha this question. According to the way John records this account, Jesus knew Lazarus was going to die. It was part of the plan. It was not that Jesus was thrilled with Martha and Mary's grief. The same passage tells us that Jesus wept. But the death and raising of Lazarus was necessary for the belief of his followers. So as Jesus steps to the grave, decomposition has already begun. Lazarus is unquestionably dead. I can almost see the intense gaze of the crowd, and I can almost feel the eerie silence. Then there's the sudden echo as Jesus shouts, "Lazarus, come out!" From the cave comes this staggering, mummy-like figure. Lazarus stumbling as the grave claws are wrapped tightly around him. Then Jesus instructs, "Unbind him and let him go." At some point, most of us have faced circumstances that were so severely negative, we saw no hope of improvement. The circumstances may have been our own doing due to sins we committed. They may have been due to mistakes that piled up to the point that they became insurmountable. Perhaps life took a wrong turn. Perhaps a series of bad breaks just piled on top of us. Regardless of the reasons, we saw about as much hope of our circumstances being positively resolved as for a decomposing body to walk away from the grave. Somebody hearing this message may be in that place right now. And if that is the case for any of us, Jesus is calling us in the midst of what may appear to be the very decomposition of our lives to come out of the grave of our hopelessness and our fear. When we heed Jesus' voice and we turn, perhaps stumble toward him, allowing Jesus to lead us out of the graves of the circumstances that would choke us in its grip, Jesus gives the command, "Unbind him and let him go. Unbind her and let her go." The liberation into life does not occur through our cognitive awareness of Jesus. It does not occur through our knowing about Jesus. Knowing Jesus, being in a relationship with Jesus, is far different from knowing about Jesus. We can study marriage, and we can know everything about marriage, but until we're married, we don't have a clue. We can study everything there is to study about parenting and the psychology of children and the psychology of parenting, but until we are parents, we don't have a clue. We can study war. We can know everything about war. We can study war strategy. We can study all of the history of war. But unless we have experienced war, we don't have a clue. We are liberated from the death grip of life's darkness, not through knowing about Jesus, but through a personal relationship with Jesus. And we can have that personal relationship with Jesus by simply inviting Him into our hearts. By simply admitting, I've sinned against you, Jesus. Or, Jesus, I've allowed my fear and my hopelessness to take over if we have previously tried to walk with Jesus. But whatever it is that would keep us from that relationship with Jesus, we can simply state that to Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive us and for Jesus to take over our hearts and our minds and our spirits. And Jesus will. When we experience that personal relationship with Jesus, then Jesus becomes that driving force of our inner being, producing within us the desire and the ability to do good. Jesus becomes that inner voice proclaiming hope when all visible evidence suggests there is no hope. Jesus becomes that inner compass, pointing us to being far more than one more competitor scratching and clawing for what we can get. The Bible tells us we were created in God's image. The psalmist proclaimed that we are created just a little lower than God. Jesus calls us to come forth so that Jesus can forgive our sins, so that Jesus can inspire us to a higher calling, so that Jesus can energize us and equip us to fulfill that call. Prior to the raising of Lazarus, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Martha responds, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God, the one coming into the world. In the chaos of her darkest moment, Martha trusted Jesus. Jesus then performed a miracle in her life that far exceeded her wildest dreams, her grandest hopes, her fondest expectations. Jesus still says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? For you, is Jesus a grand concept? Perhaps someone you have studied and admired, yet in the end, Jesus is still just a concept? Or is Jesus the most important relationship in your life and eternity? Maybe you've been in church all of your life. You know all about Jesus. But to this point, you have never experienced a trusting relationship with Jesus. You can. Right now. Maybe you're new to the Christian faith, and although you're drawn to it, you're not really quite sure about it. You just don't feel like you know enough. The first step is being in that loving, trusting relationship. And then Jesus will walk you to that place that you need to know. Whatever our point in life, Jesus desires to either begin or to enhance a relationship with each one of us. Jesus is calling us to come forth and to be set free from all that will bind us. Jesus is calling. Will you answer his call to you? Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, you know each one of us. We just pray at this moment that whatever it is that would bind any of us, whatever it is that would drag any of us into the grave of hopelessness and fear, that we would turn to you and we would hear your voice calling us out, and that we would step toward you, that we would allow you to unbind us and set us free. Jesus, you know what that looks like for each one of us. May you set us free. When you ask us that question, do you believe this? May we respond with a resounding yes. And Putt Labar will now sing for us a song reminding us of God's faithfulness to us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you, now and forever. Amen.